I want to thank my producer, my video producer today, Stephen Justice Crow. He's my son from Colorado Springs, Colorado, and he's helped me in these sessions to record, and I want to thank him for his time and effort in doing that. Today, I want to share with you how I got kicked out of Bible college. Not really. I was just asked not to return. Okay. And the reason being is that I went through high school in a small town in Oklahoma, about 65 miles northwest of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I lived in a little town called Ralston. And it had 300 people there. I don't know if it has that many people now. But there was, at that time, about 300 people, and there was about 350 dogs there and cats, and we had no animal control. We burned our trash in big 55-gallon barrels, and we had dirt roads, even where our houses were in that little town. It was later that we actually got some blacktop, and our roads got blacktop. So, you know, it was a farming community. There was only a few people there, and I was raised in just a little town that had two churches, a Baptist church and an IFCA Bible church, and I just thought that everybody believed the same thing. I just thought everybody used the Bible and believed the same thing, and then I was really shocked and surprised when I found out that there were all kinds of various denominations and beliefs and systems. And at first, you know, I'm just like the rest of what I call the Christian society. I like certain teachers. They said good things, made me feel good, and all that kind of thing. And so I'd follow men. But every time that I followed men, the men that I would follow would fall into sin. They would, it'd be something bad and terrible, and always disappointed me. And so, finally, somewhere in my Christian life, I came to the conclusion, I cannot follow men. I cannot follow Cephas. I cannot follow Paul. I cannot follow Apollos. These may be great men of God, but I have to follow Christ. And the only way that I know to follow Christ is through the Scripture. So it began a intense study in my life for years and years and years now as I study the Scripture and compare Scripture with Scripture. Now, the problem is I believe all of the Scripture in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, and I find very few people that really do. Now, they say they do, but when you really question them about certain Scriptures or verses, they get upset. They try to ignore those verses in their churches, or they try to take one set of Scriptures and use it against another set of Scriptures. And I don't think God intended the Scriptures to be used against one another, that they're to unify, not to divide. The book of Revelation warned us not to add to the Scriptures, not to take away from the Scriptures, that all Scripture is given by inspiration. The Greek word theonoustos, it's God-breathed, and it's profitable to teach, to rebuke, to correct, to instruct in the way of righteousness. Some people say, no, I'll only talk about the love of Jesus. Well, then you're going to cut out a lot of the Bible, because the Bible says, part of the Bible says you're to use it to rebuke, to correct, instruct. God said, as many as I love, I correct and I chastise. So the Bible is a sharp two-edged sword. It's not to tickle our ears. It's to bring us into conformity to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And when I went through high school, my mother was good to take my sister and I to church, and we went to Wednesday night prayer meetings and to church and all these kind of things. But I believed in God. I really did, but I didn't have really a personal relationship with Him. And it's when I moved to Dallas, Texas, and I came to a crisis in my life in a big open field one night in Dallas, Texas. I fell on my knees and I gave the whole of my life, W-H-O-L-E, the whole of my life, for all of my life, to the Lordship of Jesus. And such a transformation, deliverance came into my being. I was delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And it was an amazing experience. I also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it was a powerful experience that just about knocked me to my knees. And so I've had a lot of experiences, but experiences that don't matter if it cannot be backed by the Word of God. And I remember I went to this Bible college because my pastor in Ralston said, you should go to certain Bible colleges, and certain Bible colleges you should stay away from. So anyway, I went to this Bible college, and in reality, I probably should have stayed away from this Bible college, because it taught unbelief. It taught why that miracles don't happen today. It taught that the New Testament canon was complete, that all of the miracles and signs and wonders, they died off with the apostles, and all of these things. I didn't know any better. I was 20-some years old, and all I'd have to say is the Greek says this, and I'd believe it. But when I matured in Christ, and I could go to Greek lexicons, and I could look up words, and I could look up tenses, I found out a lot of things that people were telling me, you know, were not reality, and they were not truth. They were interpretations spun into a passage that does not say the things that they say it says, but it wasn't reality of the truth. So if you were on an island and you had your Bible and you just had the Holy Spirit and you're seeking God and just a Bible without any helps or commentaries or professors or your favorite teacher telling you what the Bible says, if you were on the island by yourself with the Holy Spirit and God and an open heart to God, you'd probably come to the right conclusions of what the Bible is really saying. But we have really fallen from our own steadfastness because of the appeal to many teachers. And I'm sorry I have to say that. I believe that God has given the teacher in the body of Christ to help us. But we always, like the Bereans, have to check out. Even the Apostle Paul, the Bereans checked out to see if the things that he said was so. We should be committed to the Scriptures like that. And I find that very few people really are. And I challenge you with that. I challenge you with that. To go to the Scriptures and to believe what you read and not try to dispensationalize and put it into another age and another this and that and all this kind of stuff. You know, God is Almighty God. He's Almighty God. He's powerful. You know, and we've just taken the power away from him. We have a form of godliness today, and we've denied the power thereof. Well, how this became real to me was one night I was in a Baptist church, and my friend was with me, and I was attending a Bible college in Dallas, Texas, and I went to this Southern Baptist church. And it was on a Wednesday night, and we were singing from the hymn books. And this little girl, about 18 years old, fell on the floor and just started to wiggle around. And like, I thought she was like having a convulsion or something. I never seen anything like this in a Baptist church. And there was a medical doctor there also, and he wanted to examine her. So he said, take her. Her name was Patty. Take Patty down to the Major's house. Okay, there's a couple named the Majors, and take it down to her house. When we got down there, she was a little quiet girl, but her eyes were dilated about the size of half dollars. Now I'm exaggerating, but you know what I'm saying. Her eyes were dilated, and there was a masculine voice that was speaking from her. A masculine voice. And this voice seemed to, this devil that was in her, I never seen a demon-possessed person. This was new to me. I was a young kid in Bible college. And this masculine voice turned on me and says, you are going to hell. I went, whoa, whoa, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. He said again, you are going to hell, in a masculine voice. And I said, no, 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 I'm not. And I thought, well, any moment, this devil and this little girl, and she had supernatural strength and power too, would just pick me up and throw me out the window. And my friend got so scared that he took off. Man, he ran out of the house and left me there. And I'm there with this demon-possessed little girl, and this thing's threatening me, and I don't know what to do. And I always believed the Bible had power in it. But I didn't know how to get the power out of it. You know, I've had people say to me, like, well, my daughter or my son or so-and-so went to college and they were educated in the religion class and now they have no faith and now they don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. Now they believe the Bible is just a bunch of fairy tales and fables. And you tell me what to tell them. In other words, you tell me what intellectual moves that I can make to confound them and show them the Bible is real and the Bible is the Word of God. And we will argue with them and we will, you know, no. I said, I don't know what to tell your son or your daughter, or your cousin or somebody on the street. I was flying overseas to minister in England and I was on my way to New York City and a soldier was assigned to me next to me to sit by me. And I started telling him about Jesus and he let me know right away. He didn't believe the Bible. It was just a bunch of fairy tales. It was full of contradictions. It wasn't anything special about it. And I said, I don't know about that, but I want to tell you what happened to me. And then I told him this story that I'm telling you now. And I told him about Patty and I told him about what happened in that Baptist church and how that masculine voice spoke out of her to me and threatened me. And I didn't know what to do. And I always believed the Bible had power in it, kind of like those old movies way back in the 50s and 60s where Dracula was trying to get him and they'd take a cross and put it out to Dracula and he'd go, ah, cross, and he'd run off. I believed the Bible had power in it, but I didn't know how to get power out of this Bible or out into the world. I didn't know. I'm just a young kid. I don't even know what the Bible says. But I believe the Bible had power in it, and it had authority. And I got that from going to church, I think, when I was a little kid. And so that night when that demon threatened me, I had a Bible with me, and I just randomly opened it up, just randomly, and it came to Philippians chapter 2. And so not knowing what to do and being scared as I was, I just read this. Talking about Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Don't say that. Don't say those words. I can't stand those words, that devil said. Don't say those words. I can't stand those words. Don't say those words. I thought, wow, what a reaction. So I read it again. Being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself, became obedient, even to the point of death, the death of the cross. Wherefore God highly exalted him. Don't say those words. Don't say those words. I can't stand those words. Therefore God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, don't say those words. Whether it be things in heaven, whether it be things on earth, or whether it be things under this earth, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Don't say that. I can't stand that. I can't stand that. Don't say that. That every tongue will confess Jesus Christ, Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this devil that had so much power, suddenly, I just kept reading it. That's how I memorized that amount of verses there. I just read it over and over to that devil until he just bowed down in the floor in front of me at the name of Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow to him. Whether it be things in earth, things under the earth, things on earth, or things under the earth. And every tongue confess, he is the Lord, he is King, he is God, he is deity, he's the one in control here. To the glory of God the Father. And that devil just got weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker till it fell on, threw that little girl on the floor and began to bow to me in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, I had a friend, J.T. Derringer. They call him Joseph Derringer. Boy, he was such a man of God, and he helped me so much. And was able to get the demons out of the girl's life. She became a true follower of Jesus and ended up marrying my friend in the Bible college that got scared and ran out of the house. He married that girl that had the demon in her. But we got the demons out of the girl, and then he married her. So she didn't carry the demons into the marriage, okay? Such a powerful testimony. And I realized that day, you know what? Why is it every time when I want to really study the Word of God, when I want to consider the Word of God, when I want to meditate on the Word of God, I get hungry, I got to go to the refrigerator, I got to go to town, I remember what I need to do now, I need to go do this and that. Because the devil doesn't want you to know the truth in this Word. The devil would like for you to pair Scripture against Scripture and say that God doesn't have any power today because the kingdom of God is taken by force. There's opposing kingdoms. But you know what? When our church world and our pastors and our seminaries and our theologians takes the power of God away and lets the power and authority of Satan continue to usurp themselves against individuals, well, then the kingdom of God is not being manifest on this earth, because the kingdom of God is not just in words. It's in demonstration. It's in power. So I've committed myself to the Word of God and to study the Word of God and to follow the Word of God, because that day I saw for myself that there was something in this book that the devil did not want me to know. And I was going to find out what that was. And I told that soldier boy on the way to New York City, when we started to land down in New York City, he didn't believe. He was an atheist. He had all these philosophies. But after I told him that story, he said, I don't know about all that stuff you're saying, but this is what happened to me. And he, by the time we descended into New York City on that plane, he said, where can I get a Bible? And what translation should I read? God had changed his heart as that testimony was given. The Apostle Paul gave his personal testimony 3 times in the New Testament. You've got a testimony. And Jesus said, you must be my witness to tell what God has done for you. I encourage you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be empowered by Him, to take this words, not black and white words on this paper, but take the God behind it, these words, and go into the world and proclaim Christ, for that's what Jesus has commanded us to do. God bless you.